So we've been talking about the great enemy of the church, apathy. And we talked about our calling, love God with all that we are and love others. And ended that consideration asking the question, am I loving God well? Am I loving others well? And then we talked about who to love, who's our neighbor. And we ended that consideration asking the question, whose paths are we crossing? Who are we literally stumbling over on the way that we're going? Last week we talked about prayer and apathy where prayer is concerned. And I read a quote from Andrew Murray this week that I wanted to share with you. Andrew Murray said, abiding fully means praying much. Well, there's a great thought. And we ended that study last week asking the question, how's our approach to God? How is the temperature? What is the temperature of our prayer life? In our loving God, what's it look like? And today we're going to turn to a text that I think hits a home run when it comes to dealing with apathy in our Christian walk. If you have your copy of the scriptures, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 14. I'll read this to you out of the New International Version. Luke 11, beginning in verse 14. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been dumb spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Let's set the scene. Those first couple of verses. Jesus driving out a demon and his detractors alleging that he's driving out a demon by the prince of demons. In other words, he's using demonic power and authority to drive this demon out of this mute man. You have to understand the historical context in which Jesus has this encounter. Because in that day, there was a very clear understanding that there were two sources of power, good and evil. And every authority would come from either that good source or that evil source. So here's a man who's struck mute by a demon, and some authority arises to call that demon out. In that context, it would either be good authority or bad authority. And so the allegation that is made is that Jesus is casting this demon out by having evil authority, Beelzebub, the prince of demons' authority, Satan's authority. And Jesus, in verse 17, says, well, let's think about this for a moment. And he uses what is common sense, logic throughout any age and in any setting, by saying, a house divided against itself will fall. Stop and just think for a moment. You know that unity in a cause or action brings strength, whereas division in a cause or action can bring calamity. We're in the midst of the playoff season. Our team went home. Might have been that blasphemous prayer I read last week. But you know from the football field, a unity in cause and action yields success, strength. Division yields chaos and loss. You've heard this phrase if you've watched football, where a quarterback drops back to pass and he throws the ball, but the receiver ran a different direction. And the commentator will say, the quarterback and his receiver weren't on the same page. There was a division there for a moment. One guy went this way, one guy went that way, and it was unsuccessful. But when they're on the same page, and the quarterback's pass hits the exact mark at the same time the receiver hits it, you know, then you have success. I'm searching for who to root for since the Patriots went home. I've decided I'm excited about the Packers and the Bears game today. The reason that I'm excited about that game is because those two teams have more history than any other franchises in the NFL. I don't know if you know this, but in 1919, the Green Bay Packers were known as the Acme Packers. A-C-M-E, Acme. You know, like the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. The Acme Packers. The Chicago Bears were called the Decatur Staleys. And they played back in the 1920s. That's when that rivalry started. And it's come through the years. And if you walk through the Pro Football Hall of Fame as I have, just about every other player there played for the Packers or the Bears. And just about every great name you can think of have come through those franchises over the years. I can't wait to see them play. It was in the 50s and 60s that was really the glory era of those two teams and their rivalry. That was when Vince Lombardi was on one side and George Halas was on the other. And those two coaches gave football more than probably any two coaches, men, gave the history of the sport of football. What a rivalry it was. But those two guys, Lombardi and Halas, Google their names. Look at their quotes that have come down through the years. These are two guys who understood this idea. Unity in cause or action yields success. A divided house, chaos and failure. Got a couple of those quotes for you. Listen to this. From Vince Lombardi. Success demands singleness of purpose. Or this one, just after he'd retired. Teamwork is what the Green Bay Packers were all about. They didn't do it for individual glory. They did it because they loved each other. You talk about loving God, loving one another. This singleness, cause and action. How about that? Here's one from George Halas, just to be fair to Bears fans. This was during a game when the game was on the line. He grabbed one of his rookie players, a guy by the name of Lionel Taylor, and said, Taylor, we're out of timeouts. Go out there and get hurt. In other words, Taylor, take one for the team. We got to stop this clock. Singleness in cause and action. Jesus causes them to think about this. House divided against itself can't stand. If I drive out demons by Beelzebub in 19, by whom do your followers drive them out? There's only two sources, good and evil. If I'm driving them out from evil, who are others driving them out from? Let that be the judgment for you. But, verse 20, if I drive them out by the finger of God, if in fact it's good, the authority that I drive this demon out with, then the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing right here in your midst. Jesus wants them to reckon with what's happened. This is a display of good or bad. You decide. But if it's good, if it's God, this is a display of the kingdom of God's work right here in your midst. And it begs the question, which side are you on? And then look at the very next verse. I told the worship team this morning when we were praying, I've read this verse thousands of times this year. When I was outlining this study, these several weeks in January and into February, this is the one verse that spoke about apathy in the Christian life that I have not been able to let go of. 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. He who is not with me is against me. Do you guys remember the political fallout that President George W. Bush received when he spoke those words in the aftermath of 9/11? He said, if you're not with us in rooting out terrorism, then you're terrorists. And everybody was up in arms. How could he say that? That's so politically incorrect. Either you're going to be on our side in rooting this evil out, or you're harboring that evil, and you're a part of the problem, and we're coming to get you. And people responded, how cowboy, how cavalier, how could he possibly say that? Now, whether you agreed with him in saying that, or you were offended by him saying that, I want you to take a step back and consider the weight of that statement. There is no neutrality. You're either on this side or you're on that side. You are not a spectator. You cannot step back and just see how this whole thing is going to work out. You've either committed that you're here, or by not, you've committed that you're here. There's no middle ground. And it offended so many to hear him say that. Jesus said it. Which side are you on? Culture, you recognize there's good, there's evil, and a house divided against itself is not going to stand. So which side are you committed to? You're committed to one or the other. Which one is it? And then the second part. You know, I think that when years gone by, when I've read verse 23, I've been so stunned by the first part of that verse, you're either with me or you're against me, that I've missed the second part. And I think the second part is even more violent an attack on apathy than the first. The second part says, he who does not gather with me scatters. Let me rephrase that for you. Darren Standard Version. If you don't live an evangelistic life, you hurt the cause of Christ. If you're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're hurting the cause of Jesus Christ. Wow. He who does not gather with me scatters. How is that so? If you're a committed follower of Jesus Christ, And you profess that to the world by doing things like going to church on Sundays. Then for the world to see you and observe you apathetic, without passion, about proclaiming that truth that testifies to the world, there's no truth in it. We would stop traffic to help people avoid a patch of black ice that is unseen. We would put ourselves in peril. Slow down. Stop. Right around that corner. Black ice. People skidding off the road. We would know. If we don't stop traffic, they're going around the corner. They're going to hit the ice. And another car enters the accident. We wouldn't drive by apathetic. But here we possess the gospel message that means the salvation of souls. And we would live as if we're indifferent. He who does not gather with me scatters. I think it's the truth. We look at statistics. The church in America is in decline. The church in China is on fire. Why? He who does not gather with me scatters. Our society looks at us and says they live as if it's not real. There's an indictment. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Verse 24 down to 26. Jesus paints a beautiful picture. He says, when an evil spirit comes out, it goes and it finds a place to rest. It can't find a place to rest. It waits long enough for the house cleaning to have taken place. And it comes back with its friends. And it roots in even deeper, and it's worse than it ever was. This is a beautiful picture that Jesus gives us of people who decide to do a little religious house cleaning in their life. We're going to sweep out the bad. We're going to clean this place up a little bit. We're going to stand back up the pencil cups, organize the paper trays. We're going to go to church occasionally. We're going to say prayers before our meals. We're going to sweep this place up and make it look good. But Jesus paints a picture. Picture of evil returning. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather scatters. And then Jesus ends the text. I should say Luke ends the text. Verse 27 and 28. As Jesus is finishing this lesson, somebody shouts, blessed is the mother who gave birth to you and nursed you. You know what she's saying is, blessed is that woman who birthed and nurtured this salvation to the world. And Jesus says, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You know, I bet you've never thought of this verse in this way. What Jesus is saying is, no, blessed are you who birth a Savior and nurture a salvation unto others by hearing this word and obeying it. There's the blessing. The blessing is living this identity that you have as one of God's children, communicating this message, being on Christ's side, gathering with Him. Well, there's the blessing. Now, by my count, I've given you two Vince Lombardi quotes and only one George Halas quote. I can't decide who I'm rooting for today. I love the Green Bay Packers, but I was born in Chicago, Illinois. So let me at least even the playing field by giving you a second Halas quote. George Halas, no one has ever regretted giving their all. And I can tell you that in Jesus Christ, that is absolutely the case. Where do we have regrets? When we live passionless, lukewarm versions of following after Christ. No one has ever regretted giving their all. I don't want you to hear any of my words today. I want you to hear the words of Jesus. And so I close. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Let's pray. Father, where your Spirit desires, would you stir our hearts to that word? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.